So
it's gonna be back
in the World Cup. Is it like it is for me, where like the browner the team, the more likely you are to root for them? Because that's kind of it's not by choice. It's just like
the
reflex.
Issue, though, is that pretty much all of them are as brown as they can possibly be. That's the strategy.
That's fair.
That's very much the strategy.
It's like the country of France should not be the one that I'm rooting for, but I'm gonna be watching the games. I'm like, man, hey.
We're getting into the World Cup talk when Kevin Clark's here. We're going to get into the World Cup talk later. Taylor Twellman, who is definitely going to feel comfortable answering that question, will answer that question.
Number one, first question, Pablo.
That's right. But for now, friend of debatable Kevin Clark is here because we have NFL things. Look at the menu, Dominique. Look at Kevin Clark's tie. He's off of work. The tie is loosened.
I call it the paper bag rooting test.
Speaking of teams whose fans must be wearing paper bags right now, Alabaster. Where should we
great
begin?
Transition.
Oh, let's wow. Thank you for saving that. Helicopter saving, tailspin right
saving
there.
It?
And we needed
what do you mean saving
Pablo
it?
Torre.
It was not a failure. You think that your discomfort is a miss? What? You don't know what game I'm playing, sir.
Okay, let's move on. What does Kyler Murray's injury mean for the Cardinals' future?
Kevin, do you remember October of 2021?
No.
When the Arizona Cardinals were 7-0, and I believe I don't even know what movies were popular at that point, but pretty much every I think it was like Venom. Venom might have been the number one. I tried to look this up, and then I failed.
Venom 2?
Venom, Let There Be Carnage, which maybe
that Venom. Movie was really
that was the
bad.
Second one. That was the second one.
Yeah, that one. That's what America looked like. Those are the two data points that you need about reality in October 2021, and everything up to and including and beyond Kyler Murray's ACL being torn. Presents a remarkably different, horrible reality for this team.
So I think that your failed attempt at like dating that, it's like a perfect failed metaphor for this team. Because what you ask for is something so easy, and somehow this team continues to not do it. Like, we don't ask you for very much, and still you can miss it. The injury is sad, but again, like we talked about, I think the last time we were on here talking about a major injury, the first question that comes to my mind is, did he get paid yet? And thank the good Lord above, Kyle already got that green. But it is unfortunate for him because, I mean, per Lisa Salter's reports, he was sobbing in the tunnel. It's really sad, unfortunate, uncomfortable, sad for the future of this team. But overall, I think that they're going to have to do some sort of overhaul, which is not going to include the general manager and head coach, but probably include Kyler Murray when he gets healthy again. $230 million.
Kyler Murray is better at his job than anybody else in the Cardinals organization, which I think we can qualify. Obviously, Kyler is not perfect, but he's about to do for the next year what everybody else in the organization does, which is get paid a lot of money for doing nothing. Steve Keim is a really bad general manager. Cliff Kingsbury is a bad coach. Cliff Kingsbury should have never been hired. Steve Keim should have been fired many years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago when you look at the drafts. I don't know what anybody does. The theory I've always heard on the Cardinals is they're kind of isolated. They don't really know, like Michael Bidwill, the owner, doesn't really know a ton of people outside of the Arizona Cardinals facility, and so he doesn't really know who to turn to. They got to start over. One thing I think is interesting, there are two teams I've heard consistently rumored to be in the Sean Payton sweepstakes. One of them is the Chargers, which maybe they make the playoffs in order to make a change, and the other is the Arizona Cardinals because Sean Payton wants a quarterback. Well, what happens if that quarterback isn't ready for September, October? Does this delay the entire thing a year? The dominoes that fall here are really spectacular, and I'm intrigued to see what happens. I think that there are a bunch of people who want this job. Kyler Murray in the right system can make magic happen. Like, we've seen that. He understands how to play the game. Cliff Kingsbury was never the hire. He was a losing college coach. He should have been a college OC, which, by the way, he was going to be at USC, or he should have been an NFL OC or, frankly, position coach. My colleague Stephen Ruiz has nominated him for run game coordinator with a couple of teams, but not a head coach. I've seen enough of this era of Arizona Cardinals football. Everybody out.
run game coordinator feels like a particularly sharp insult to an air raid disciple.
He'd be great at it.
I think it's interesting that you brought up the Chargers because I think Brandon Staley has gotten better as a head coach, while it seems like Cliff Kingsbury started out poorly and got worse, because I remember being surprised by his dexterity and adjustments when he first got there. And then it's gotten progressively much worse. I'm not sure where he's going to end up, but the Sean Payton point is an interesting one, because the one thing that it feels like Kyler Murray needs or could benefit from is somebody with some pedigree and some respect at doing the things. Because I think that at least the gist, the vibe that we get from Kyler Murray, and I think we can openly talk about it now that that Patrick Peterson has been critical of him being selfish, is the vibe that we get is I don't need you. I don't need that. And you can't teach me anything is the worst read on the vibe that comes from him. But I don't think it's because he's wrong. I think that that vibe might have been developed because his coach was Cliff Kingsbury. So Sean Payton shows up. I suspect that Kyler Murray has some level of respect for what he's been able to accomplish offensively. And it's probably better for everyone when Kyler gets healthy.
So, look, on the one hand, we're noting all the ironies in this team. One irony is that the people who tried to punish Kyler Murray with more homework don't seem to have done enough homework. Yes. Kevin Clark has mentioned that the owner of the team needs to go and meet some people. Go do homework on meeting people, which is the thing I didn't realize until just now. Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury, Steve Keim, they need to do a lot of, take-home assignments themselves. But when you talk about, Kyler and his play, Dominique, I mean, he's been 21st in QBR. That's between Ryan Tannehill and Matthew Stafford. Thank you for the card, Alabaster. Kevin, I'm just curious, how much of this in the – and now it's a postmortem because his season's over. But when you look at his QBR by year, 15, 14, 7, again, shout out to October 2021, and then 21st, what are we really talking about in terms of what he's culpable for here?
It's hard to tell. The drafts have been terrible. The schemes have been pretty basic. Cliff Kingsbury has shown – Dominique, the ability to not run the air raid, but it's still collegiate schemes. I was talking to a DC in August, and he was saying that Cliff is really running a college offense, which I think sometimes we get too caught up in what's new. And I think that it maybe a couple of years ago, we thought, okay, this is going to be the future of the NFL. We're going to spread it out. We're going to run the air raid concepts. And I agree. Some of that stuff has crept in. And I think that, I wrote a piece a couple of years ago where I talked to Lincoln Riley, where he was like, listen, the NFL sometimes is just a Big 12 game. That's what it's become. But you still need to be able to do certain things, have heavy looks, then pass out of them. Some toughness things that you're going to need that maybe Cliff hasn't been able to instill. So I think that they need to just basically start out from a scheme standpoint. But Kyler can do a number of things. He can move. He can pass. He can go outside the numbers. Can he pass over the middle of the field? We've seen some data suggesting that his height is a problem there, but he can do other things. Bye, Pablo. I don't know.
I think he's making a short joke.
I know what he was doing. But I think that there's a lot that you can sort of mold here. But the problem is the Cardinals are in charge of the hiring. The Cardinals can't get better because every time they've got to do something to make them better, they remember they're the Cardinals.
So wait, Dominique, are we just at the point officially then where the Cardinals should be considered one of those teams? One of those teams where the rot from the top down is actually among just the very bottom in maybe all of sports at this point. Are we going that far? Where are we putting?
No, because those teams haven't had any success. The Cardinals have had brief periods of success making it to a Super Bowl, things like that. I do also think that some decisions that they made were good ones, like deciding to move on from Josh Rosen and drafting Kyler Murray immediately after drafting Josh Rosen. It was a decision that I didn't think was it seemed emblematic of someone who makes a lot of bad decisions, being Steve Keim. But that one was actually a good one, and I think that a lot of their draft decisions can be justified. And you could argue that getting big, talented tweener athletes seems like a wise move. The fact that they haven't panned out could be a representation of bad drafting or bad coaching. So it feels like none of this stuff works well together. Kevin?
There's an interesting thing you just said I want to hit on. They've drafted a number of athletes on the defensive side of the ball who can be unlocked to play in a special way with good coaching, and then they don't get good coaching. They get picks that, in theory, if you have a good staff, would be unlocked. And then they go, what if we gave them bad coaching? What about that? And it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's to disentangle those things and finding out where those problems are. It's all too intertwined to understand. Back to the Cliff Kingsbury and offensive thing is when we talk about college offenses versus pro offenses, is I think we're talking about different things a lot of times, where sometimes we're talking about the concepts. The concepts generally can play in both places, but I think the major defining characteristics of college offense and pro offenses in my mind is the like versatility. So college offenses, because they're students, air quotes, and because there are time constraints on it, and because there are huge talent disparities and frankly huge football intellect disparities, college offenses are smaller and simpler and can't really adjust too dramatically to the opponent. And I think that's part of the problem, is that's where the college is becomes an issue, is the inability to be like, all right, you know what? Where our advantage is this week is over here. And they can't do that. And Cliff Kingsbury was a mistake that we all saw coming.
Yeah. Good thing they extended both of these guys 6 months ago.
Money ain't a thing.
I keep on mentioning at least the fire pit in the backyard, but that was a sign. That was a telltale sign. Something's not right here.
Oh, are we talking about Cliff Kingsbury?
Was he paying too much attention to home decor and not enough to the offense? Because the best coaches, Dominic, you know this, they barely know their kids' names.
Yeah, that's how you coach.
They barely know their kids'
I would simply assert that it was a strategic miscalculation to need fire in Arizona when it's 100 degrees.
It gets cold at night.
It was daytime.
It was an ad. It was an infomercial. He was advertising, man. He's not recruiting players anymore, but he's recruiting something.
What was he advertising? Yeah, I was going to say, something. What was the advertisement for? Help wanted.
All right, let's move on. I guess it's too soon to make Call of Duty jokes with the amount of time Kyler Murray has, but I digress. Let's move on to the Lions.
Talked about.
Should the Lions look at Jared Goff as their franchise quarterback?
Should or will?
Yes. I mean, they're saying, to your point, Dominique, they're saying that they are and will. They are saying that this is not a stopgap. They're saying that this is the guy. And if you look at the numbers and how much they've won over the last 5 weeks, I suppose, specifically, yes, they do not consider Jared Goff to be a bridge quarterback. They consider him to be the guy behind, the castle walls, I guess, in this tortured metaphor, Kevin.
I am going to push back on the according to Ian Rappaport thing, because I said this 4 months ago in the Bill Simmons podcast, because the Lions told me this. They told me. I like rap sheet.
Get your card right.
Kevin Rappaport reported. That's right. I like rap sheet. Rappaport reported before Rappaport reported.
I've done a lot of reporting this year and last year with the Detroit Lions. And the one thing that stood out to me, and this was via source, and he just said to me off the record, it was not Dan Campbell or Brad Holmes, the two people I profiled over the past 2 years. But there was another guy in the building who said, we don't want to be the Colts. We don't want to just play this quarterback roulette every single year and say, oh, hey, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's got a bum shoulder. Let's check him out. Oh, Ryan Tannehill, let's check this out. Carson Wentz, hell yeah. Like, they don't want to do that. Jared Goff is good enough. We know what Jared Goff's ceiling is if everything is perfect. Ben Johnson is a really good offensive coordinator. That offensive line is really coming together. The skill guys are there. The culture seems to be getting better every single week there. They're one of the hottest teams in football. We know what the ceiling is with Jared Goff. He can make easy throws and he can raise a team's ceiling when everything is perfect. Is he going to raise a team out of their circumstances? No. Is he going to be a one-man culture changer? No. But he's going to be really good and he in certain pockets, and he eliminates the biggest question mark in sports, which is, do you have a quarterback? So, you know, Dominique and I were actually just talking about this, right? Spoiler alert, we're in the same building right now. And we were just talking about it about 30 minutes ago. And I was saying to him, you know, they don't want to get the quarterback, the ultimate quarterback decision wrong. They don't want to say, okay, we're going to draft Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, be wrong because they felt the need to force it. How many times have we said, ah, this team just got the second overall pick in the wrong year. They had to take this quarterback that felt like they needed to. The Lions don't want to do that. They have the ability right now to keep rolling it over. Is Jared Goff going to get a second mega contract from the Lions? No, he's not. He might get a bridge contract. He's not the franchise guy, but he's the long-term solution until they say, okay, we have something better, because they're smart and they know how to think about this.
Yeah, I mean, they say all the right things. You can't be the long-term solution until we find something better. So, like, it seems like they know the right thing to do.
But they're not saying,
no, you can't. It's impossible to be also – the long-term solution is called a franchise quarterback. So I respect the idea that they're not going to chase a bunch of mediocre quarterbacks. You know why they're not? Because they got one. They're not going to be the Colts, because the Colts were an entirely different situation. The Colts had a franchise quarterback that quit.
We're calling Jared Goff, Dominique, officially sixth in QBR right now.
Yes.
Straight up mediocre.
Yes. He is at Kirk Cousins level.
Alabaster could not be more aggressive in his finger tapping.
We just did a 15-minute conversation about how a team should build around a mediocre quarterback who's never had as good of a QBR as Jared Goff does on the Lions.
Wondering when the Kyler
Why would they be
back?
A builder on that mediocre guy and not this one?
Because Kyler Murray has the ability to not be mediocre, and he is still early in his career. We do not know what Kyler Murray can turn into around good coaching. We saw what a very great coach could do with Jared Goff, and that great coach was like, you know what? He ain't good enough. They are different players with different ceilings. And to the point I was making a second ago, the Colts are a different situation. They will not be the Colts because they already have that version of the player. The Colts had Andrew Luck quit on them. They didn't have a franchise quarterback, so then they were scrambling to fill that role. The Lions now have a guy in that spot. They already have the guy, so they're not going to go around and chase other mediocre quarterbacks that are like Jared Goff. Jared Goff is fine. I'm not saying that they should run him off for any old person, but if they get into this year, presuming they still have the number four pick, I haven't looked at the quarterbacks that are available right now, but I think it would be foolish for them to already just discount the idea that they would take a quarterback. I don't believe that there's a huge difference in talent for quarterbacks that go in the first round. So, like, I'm not saying that they should, like, tank and try to get the number one overall pick. I think that would be a problem. But the idea that if they are 14th, 15th in the draft, or even four in the draft, and a potential improvement at quarterback is there, because it's my view that having a good situation, putting a young quarterback in a good situation, you're more likely to have success with that quarterback than if you just draft any quarterback. So, like, it's more about them being prepared to receive the quarterback than it is about them finding the right quarterback, and it ain't Jared Goff.
Well, Kevin, I feel like the other like variable when we talk about should you move on from the quarterback you have, when is good enough not good enough, is timeline, is like championship window. Like, where, like, how does that figure into this? Because Jared Goff, yes, is having the best season since he made the Super Bowl in 2018. Mm-hmm. We know he can get to a Super Bowl. Granted, the Lions are not the Rams in various ways. But Dominique,
they're not currently falling apart.
Well, fair enough. What do you think when you see a Lions team that currently in the present does not seem to need a quarterback, actually needing it high on its list of priorities as like actually winning a championship goes?
I want to say one thing about the Rams, Dominique, real quick. First of all, I'll say two things. Number one, the Lions don't have to tank because the Rams are tanking for them. So that's why they have a top five pick. They're good.
Right.
They don't have to worry about that. They can win all the games they want. They're still going to get Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, one of those guys. One other thing about the Rams, and I'm a huge supporter about it, of their strategy and their all-in thing. Their offensive coordinator just went back to Kentucky, where he was last year. I got maybe three texts last week when that happened with the Windhorse meme. I'm just going to leave that there.
Yeah.
Why would their offensive line?
McVay is done. That's why, because
randomly in early December go back to college.
Oh, we're reviving that. I forgot. I honestly forgot about the McVay is done storyline. I'm glad it's back. Thank you for reminding me, Dominique, for connecting the dots. I wasn't going to do it, but yeah.
So
very strange.
Appreciate that, Wendy. But the thing about this anecdotal thing we're using, where it's like they don't want to be the Colts, is like there are a number of other teams that you could look at. Is like, do they want to be the 49ers? because the 49ers would be the model that they would like to follow, I would guess, who also realized at a certain point, yes, we can build culture. Yes, we can get talent. Yes, we can coach these guys up, but we need to find an upgrade, which then they expended a crazy amount of draft capital, more than just one pick, to move up and get that quarterback that'll take you there.
This is what I'm talking about.
We have to kind of, like, I understand.
And now Brock Purdy's going to get them there.
Right. This is my point. This is my point about what you really need.
Thank you, Pablo. Wait, I need to go
Brock
back to
Brock Purdy. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Because sometimes it feels like we're about to do Brock Purdy. Sometimes it feels like you guys are like trying to be funny, and sometimes it feels like you're trying to be serious, and it feels like we were trying to be serious, and then you guys just started making jokes, clear jokes, hilarious ones.
All right. So that's more of a philosophical problem. But all right, let's talk about
the answer is yes and no, respectively. But yeah.
So if they get a top five defensive lineman this year. I mentioned Will Anderson and Jalen Carter as possibilities, both from the SEC, both NFL ready. They're going to have a second pick. That could be in the 20s. That could be in the late teens, depending on how they finish. That's a cornerback. That could be a linebacker. I don't know. It's more defense. Just keep shoring up that side of the ball. The timeline to compete realistically is next year, playoff team, and then the year after, like, legit, they've got the pieces. Like, kind of what we were talking about earlier, they're going for it. So I know it sounds like a joke. The Lions are being 2 years away. They're always 1 year away from being 1 year away. But it really does seem like there's pieces here. This is a little different than some of the other eras that they've had. And I think if there's no better option, then yes, Jared Goff is the quarterback at that spot. You can keep looking, but I don't think Jared Goff keeps you from doing anything if the rest of the roster is special.
So, the thing about a better option is you don't know what it's a better option. Like, you have an idea that it could be a better option until it gets in your building, and you have to bring these players into your building somehow. So, like, if you're drafting quarterbacks in the second round, I don't have a problem with that, but they still need to try to find someone who can be a difference maker at that spot as long as they have this roster. Because what happens in, as much as I understand, when you are the 49ers or when you're one of these teams who doesn't have a great quarterback, yes, it's possible to win a Super Bowl without a great quarterback. But we all know the history of this league, particularly recently. The history is like the great quarterback is going to take you over the top. So the idea that as a strategy, where I'm like, you know what, Jared Goff is our guy, that to me seems like a mistake. Just as much as it's a mistake to be like, hey, Jared Goff is trash, we got to keep finding someone, pretending like there is not a better option out there and you won't be willing should someone drop to you or should a player present himself if it's a free agent. Because saying that you don't want to be like the Colts is also saying that you don't want to be like the Buccaneers, or you don't want to be like the Rams. These are teams that won Super Bowls because they did the exact same that the Colts did.
I would say getting Tom Brady is different.
All right. Check me.
I do want to quote Cormac McCarthy real quick. You have no idea what worse luck your bad luck has saved you from. Jared Goff is the bad luck, is the bad quarterback, is the mediocrity that is keeping you from Carson Wentz. He's keeping you from trading a third round pick for Brock Purdy when Jimmy Garoppolo gets healthy. He's keeping you from Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and PJ Walker. That's what Jared Goff's doing.
Thank you, because that's what we're all here for. No one wants to win a
ring. We don't want to have bad
quarterbacks. Go ahead.
Scars.
I was really hoping you were going to include Kyler Murray in that list, but let's move on to the Thursday night game.
I just Googled my own McCarthy quote.
Hold on. Clear out. ISO Pablo.
Scars have the strange power to remind us that our past is real. Cormac McCarthy.
Ooh, deep.
Yeah.
Deep. Yeah. That's called leadership. I feel led.
Damn. All right. Yeah.
Who was that quote about?
That was about a Brock Purdy, actually. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Iowa State.
Yeah.
Do you expect the 49ers to keep rolling against the Seahawks on Thursday night?
Oh, an actual Brock Purdy question. Interesting. Whoo. Yes. Yes, I am in. I am in on the 49ers can make the Super Bowl without Jimmy Garoppolo train. I have convinced myself watching this team and also just to be in opposition to Dominique, admittedly. But I don't see why not.
You're not in opposition to me. I think that it is possible also. I think it's a low percentage chance. The one thing that felt a bit hot takey that I said last week, but feels less hot takey now, is that my expectations for the 49ers have not changed despite the change to the quarterback. And that's what it is. Like, yes, they could make it to and win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. They're going to need somebody to make some big ass plays. Normally that person is a quarterback. For them, it's not going to be the quarterback, and that hasn't changed. I actually feel like a little bit more optimistic with Brock Purdy, because Brock Purdy is a Christmas present that has yet to be opened. We already know what's inside the Jimmy Garoppolo box. There's a chance that there's a superstar inside the Brock Purdy box. It's a slim chance, but I do know, I feel like what we've learned about Brock Purdy is that when everything, that's some gross foot fungus.
I was going to say, that's a gross foot footage, actually. Footage. Yeah. There's footage behind Kevin. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Yeah, we do know that Brock Purdy can.
What's going on in Deportes?
Got some issues. We know that Brock Purdy can give you some version of what Jimmy Garoppolo gave you. And the big question around Jimmy Garoppolo that he, I wasn't going to say he hasn't answered, but he has answered poorly so far, is like, when things get bad, is he going to be able to like lift this team past that? The answer is no. In order to win a Super Bowl or get through the playoffs, they're going to need some big sack fumbles. They're going to need some crazy screens to the crib. They're going to need some crazy plays from a lot of other people not named Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe Brock Purdy has a couple of those plays in him.
You got something big.
Yeah, but I think that was already the case, Dominic.
Right. I agree.
Right? Like, that was already, they already needed Fred Warner to have like a pick six in the middle of the field in the third quarter in the NFC Championship game. That was already the pathway.
Exactly.
So I talked to Richard Sherman yesterday, NFL defensive back, something you wouldn't know about, Dominique.
Drop central. I can't. You used to be stat me down. I respected that guy. But this guy who's just like, I know people.
Kevin's phone. Can we get an image of Kevin's phone that you guys can mock up, please, when this stuff happens?
Just right here.
Sherman.
Yes. And he was saying to me that Kyle Shanahan, when Dan Quinn was defensive coordinator of the Seahawks, Kyle Shanahan knew Dan Quinn's rules so well and broke them that they permanently had to change the rules of the defense. They actually had to come up with Shanahan rules, like the Jordan rules, because he had so thoroughly broken the defense. Okay. There is nobody else like that. I tell that story only because the Seahawks are still the Seahawks. It's not like, you know, that Pete Carroll has a philosophy. But the second reason I tell that story is that the Kyle Shanahan is a singular force. Like, he changes the way defensive coordinators have to operate because he knows them so well. I saw a quote in a Mike Sando piece on Monday that was really interesting from an anonymous executive. You want to tell people who know people, Mike Sando knows people. And he said, if you were just to draw up, hey, we got to start Brock Purdy, who would you say, let's give him to? The answer would be Kyle Shanahan. He's the one guy who solves every problem. And so I have faith. I mean, if you look at just the yards per attempt leaderboard over the past 10 years, it's all Shanahan guys. Like, he takes these guys I didn't know were in the league, and he gives them Dan Marino's 1984 numbers. It's unbelievable. And he's going to keep doing it with Brock Purdy. Purdy can make all of the throws. I love this team. My only problem is, they're going to run into the Eagles at some point, and I just don't think Brock Purdy is going to make enough plays there. But I really do think they're going to make the AFC title game.
So do I. I believe that before the season started, and I ain't even talked to nobody about it. Just talked to my gut. I said, hey, gut, who's going to be in the NFC Championship game? And my gut rumbled out.
Weren't you just in this lobby here asking me get-up questions?
I was asking you get-up questions because I wanted to know what you would say, so I would say the opposite. Jeez, obviously. I don't actually respect opinions.
I want counter-imaging. I want counter-imaging for Dominique's gut. When Dominique talks to his gut.
Oh, no.
My gut is...
Forte's commercial.
My gut is fantastic right now. My gut is feeling really confident about
literally,
the Final Four.
Literally hearing rumblings. Yeah, is what Dominique's gut does.
Check. Ooh, finally.
Got it. Nailed it.
Now we can get my terp on here and do some real sports talk fake show.
Oh, is this it? Alabaster's back. Hello. Did you talk to Kevin Clark recently? Is that why you're coming here to also
that is a, before you go, too? Kevin, I do have to let you know that we counted the name drops, and there were eight. Eight name drops.
Goodness gracious.
I was going to say, the fourth reason Kevin Clark told that story is because he is Kevin Clark. That is the fourth reason why he mentioned the Dan Quinn thing.
Oh, it was outstanding. Oh, it was
legitimately helpful reporting. But
there's only one text thread on my phone that matters, and it's you, fellas.
Oh.
Rust Bell strip club enthusiast, you mean? A deep cut for
the
people.
Only names I need to drop.
Oh,
that's right.
Gosh.
That's right. Shout out to anybody who gets that reference. It was made on the show.
Yeah.
We need to clip that. Because actually, someone asked about that last week. We need to clip the Pittsburgh strip club story. It needs to get out there.
Dominique's recruiting story.
No, we don't need that out there.
What was your gut feeling when you were there?
Sadness. It's like your dad's probably a coal miner and you're just trying to make ends meet. It's so sad. I don't want to go to school here. You don't want to be here. Gio Reyna, Taylor Twellman.
Never
met him. Talk about it.